I did something last night that I'm not accustomed to. Something that I'm not very adept at doing. In conversations, my wife said, "I suppose you're going to be talking to the mothers tomorrow." I said, "No, I hadn't even thought of it." And then I remembered that some time ago I'd prepared a message for Mother's Day when I was speaking at one of the other assemblies, and something happened, I can't remember what, and I never did get to give that message. So I started looking for the notes. So I found the notes, and I brushed it up a bit. So if the message this morning isn't as polished, with all the fine points that you expect from a message, you'll have to pardon me for changing horses in midstream. I'd like to have you read with me a few verses from Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 and reading at verse 10. "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from far. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." For the brief time that we have, I want to look at some of the mothers we have in the Bible. First of all, of course, there is Mother Eve, the mother of all living. What a story she would have to tell to her children. Bedtime stories, I'm sure, were thrilling. And then the day came when this mother, of the first two boys recorded that were born into the world, One brought heartache and sorrow. They both learned at her knees. They both heard the word of truth. They both were taught the way to God through sacrifice, by substitution. Outside the Garden of Eden now, they heard those stories, that story over and over again, how that Adam and Eve had disobeyed God's word. Abel acted in faith. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Cain rejected the word that he heard and killed his brother. Many mothers today in our world are like Mother Eve. There are those children who bring pleasure and joy to their hearts because they follow the ways of their parents and their parents' God. They have taken the word of God which they've heard and applied it to their own hearts and lives. And their mothers are made glad as they see their children walking in their ways. Others bring sorrow, disappointment, and grief because they rebel, as did Cain, at the word of God. They will not allow the Spirit of God to have His way in their lives. And mothers' hearts are broken because of it. The same mother who taught Abel the way to God taught Cain the way to God. How is it that Abel accepted and believed and responded, and Cain rebelled? I don't know. I only know that every person is a free will agent. Every one of us can choose for ourselves. And that's why there's such a difference between Cain and Abel. And that's why a mother's heart is torn apart. Because some children do not respond to the word. But take courage. We read later on that another son was born to Adam and Eve. And then we read that men began to call upon the name of the Lord. So, we have to keep faith, mothers. We have to still trust. We have to still pray. God will yet honor your faith. God will yet make your heart to rejoice because of those who will respond to the message of the gospel. Jochebed, wife of Amram, mother of Moses and Aaron and Miriam. They were living in the land of Goshen in Egypt. King Pharaoh sent forth an edict. All the male children of the Hebrews were to be thrown into the river and drowned. But we read that by faith, Moses was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. What does that mean? How could they see in the face of a baby something of destiny? How could they look into Moses' face and see anything different from what they saw in Aaron, who had been born some 3 years before? What does a mother see as she looks into the face of her baby? I don't understand a mother's tender love and care. The heart of a father, I guess, is different. But a mother sees something that a father doesn't see, or anyone else. And as Jochebed looked into the face of Moses that day, she saw that he was a proper child, a child destined for a great work, that God had his hand upon this child. How, I don't know. But she saw it. By faith she saw it. And I wonder how many mothers look upon their children as they're born in faith and see down the road of life perhaps what God may have in store for that boy, that girl. I believe that Jochebed fully committed this baby to God, gave him wholly over to God. She saw something there that day that she'd never seen before. She committed him to God. And so she prepared for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it within and without, made it watertight, and took it down by the water's edge. Can you imagine a mother taking her baby, a 3-month-old baby, putting it in a basket in the water, not knowing whether he would ever survive? But by faith, I believe she knew he would. This was a child of destiny. She had faith still in God. And he was taken up, as you know, by Pharaoh's daughter. His sister Miriam came out of hiding and said, "Wouldn't you like to have a nurse to take care of this baby?" And she said, "Yes, go call one of the Hebrew women." She called Moses' mother. So Moses' mother was not only a mother, but a nurse. She not only fed his body, she fed his soul. She poured into him the word of God. She told him how that they were in bondage in Egypt. They were the people of God. But King Pharaoh was holding them in chains. Maybe she whispered in his ear day after day, "Maybe Moses, you're going to be the deliverer. Maybe you're going to be the one that God is going to raise up to deliver his people. I want you to serve God. I want you to put your trust in God. Maybe you're going to be the deliverer." Maybe that's what she said. But I know that she trained him in the ways of God. She didn't train him in the ways of the world. She didn't train him for politics. She might have trained him to be the best courtier in Pharaoh's palace. She might have trained him that one day he might have sat upon the throne of Egypt. But she didn't. She trained him for God. She trained him for eternity. I know we have to give our children the best that we possibly can. Sometimes we do not always know how that will turn out. Those days in college, or in university, those days away from home, from mother's influence, to be exposed to all the bombardment of the satanic world, the evil, the lust. The blasphemy. The agnosticism. We need to pray. We need to lay hold of God for them in those years, in school, in college, so that they will not turn away from God. Jochebed was a faithful mother in training and teaching Moses. He became the deliverer of God's people, brought them out of Egypt by a mighty hand. Jumping quickly into the New Testament, Elizabeth, the wife of Zacharias, mother of John the Baptist. Another woman who trained her son for a special work and let him go out into the wilderness, leaving home her only son, the son of their old age, turning his back upon the home and now going out to be a preacher of the gospel, to prepare the right ways of the Lord, to make his path straight, to prepare a people for God, for the coming of the Messiah. One who ate a simple fare and dressed in uncommon dress, but who preached repentance. He didn't attain to high scholastic achievements in the schools, but he attained to those high degrees in preaching the gospel, in being a servant of God, in preparing the way for the coming of the Lord Jesus. What about your son, mother? Would you rather have him to make those worldly advancements and achievements, to get those high honors in the world's academic fields? Or would you rather see him as a dedicated servant of God, a preacher of the gospel, leading others to the Lord Jesus Christ? This country of ours, it's in need of dedicated men. Men who will go out into these islands where there is no clear testimony, where there is much darkness rampant. They need men who will be dedicated to carry the gospel, to tell these people the way of salvation, to seek to bring them to the Savior. Would you pray that your son would be such a herald? Another John the Baptist? Another Saul of Tarsus? An Apostle Paul? Or a Simon Peter? Hannah of the Old Testament had no children. She yearned for a child. And she pleaded with God that day in the temple, "Lord, if you'll give me this child, this son, I'll give him back to you." And God heard that prayer and answered it. And when the child was weaned, she took him up to the temple with an offering, And she gave him over to the priest. And she said, this is the boy. Just a year or so ago, you thought I was drunk when I came. And I prayed. But I wasn't. Here's the answer to my prayer. I'm giving him back to God. He's in your hands. Teach him. Train him for the service of God. Maybe there's a Samuel in our family today. A young child who, because of mother's prayers and dedication and training, will give himself to the work of God in these islands, or maybe in a foreign land, to turn the hearts of many unto our God. Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus, she was told when she brought the child into the temple that day by Simeon, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. I think what he was saying was a sword is going to pierce through his soul, but a sword is going to pierce through thine own soul also, he said. Could she know, could she imagine what he was talking about? Maybe faintly, but I think she couldn't understand all that it would mean until some 33 years later, outside the city of Jerusalem, on the hill called Calvary, her son, was called the Son of the Highest, that holy thing, the Son of God. She saw him impaled on a Roman gibbet. She stood beneath that cross, looking into his eyes, and his eyes into hers, and he committed her to the Apostle John. Can you imagine what went through her heart that day? We'll never know. Only eternity will reveal it. To see her own dear son, so sinless, crucified. But then, there are those that we can still call mothers who have never borne children. Some have married and have never had the privilege of bearing children physically. But there are thousands of such mothers throughout the world today. Women who have taken and reared children and have spiritual children because they've taught them the Word of God. Sunday school teachers, day school teachers. And they have taught those children the way to God. They have brought them from darkness into light. It is as if they have been born to them. They have given birth to them because they have been spiritually born into God's family and adopted as their children. Yes, they are mothers indeed. And then there are mothers who are able to accept what not all mothers can accept, the child. It may be deformed. It may be blind, or deaf, or dumb, or lame. And those mothers have accepted it for the glory of God. You've heard the story of the mother who gave birth to the child in the hospital, Christian mother. And when the child was born, it was noticed immediately. It was mongoloid. The nurses got together and they whispered to each other. They wondered what this Christian was going to say and do. The next day, the nurse who was listening on the telephone to the conversation, when the mother called her mother, and this is what she heard, she said, "Mother, God has blessed us with a mongoloid baby." That went through the hospital like lightning. And some of those nurses were brought to the Savior because a mother accepted what she felt was the will of God for her life and gave her, blessed her with a mongoloid baby. It's not easy to take. It's not easy to be able to say that. But bless that dear mother's heart who can say it, who can accept it, and who can tend to that child and glorify God's name. Mothers, there's a great work to do. There are those of you who expect to be mother. There's a great work for you to do now. There's a training for you in the Word of God to discipline yourself by the Word of God, to learn the deep things of God. So that when the children come into your life, you will be equipped, qualified to train them for God. God help us all as parents, mothers and fathers, to do our duty to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus by rearing our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Shall we pray? Our Father, we pray today for those children in our families who are not yet saved. We continue to claim the promise of thy word. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We still believe that thou wilt answer those prayers. We pray for them even now. Draw them to thyself and save their precious souls. For these mothers who are here today, we thank before them, ask thee to bless them. Perhaps some of them, their work, they may feel, is over. Their children have grown and left the homestead. But help them to realize that there's still a work of prayer and service. And then perhaps there are others that they can take under their care and train them for thee. Help us to do our part, to live out our lives, so that thy name may be magnified and precious souls will be saved. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.